flyover country. This is Spin Sold Separately.
Been too long. I'm sorry it's been too long. I know it's been too long. You'll understand in a minute why it's been so long. Thank you so much for joining me once again for Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. As you can probably already tell, my voice is absolutely not right. I have managed to somehow stay healthy for the better part of 2 years now. I mean, I haven't gotten so much as a cold in the last couple of winters. I added a zinc regimen to my daily vitamin and my gastromed that I have to take every day, and it really helped boost my immune system, at least to the point where for the last 2 years, despite being around a lot of illnesses on and off, I have not gotten sick. But my number was finally called this past weekend. I spent some time in a vehicle with somebody that was obviously sick, and I had no way around it. Not going to get into the details, but the 50 to 60 minutes or so that I had to spend in an enclosed vehicle with this person that was obviously sick definitely caught up with me. It was too cold to open the windows. It was one of those minus 20 days when just stepping outside was painful, let alone opening a window to try to keep some air moving in a vehicle. Just wasn't realistic at the time. So I am extremely under the weather. I was out of work Monday and Tuesday. I tried to go back today. I was there for, I believe it was 4 minutes, and they kicked me out. Not that I blame them. I just, you know, that Midwestern work ethic. We don't ever want to be the one that doesn't show up. And it was all I could do to take the 2 days off. I certainly wasn't going to take a third. And then it felt better last night and even this morning. But then as I was getting ready, like all of a sudden, I just overheated again, and the whole process kind of started over. So tried to fight through it. The folks at work said thanks but no thanks and sent me back home. So hopefully I'll be able to get there tomorrow and get back to doing what I do for a day job, because I do not have unlimited sick time, sad as it is to admit. So I am going to, this is obviously not the best state to be doing something vocal in, but there is so much going on, and it's been far too long since I've talked to you guys, and, you know, we haven't even cracked the seal on this new administration yet, and there's so much out there that I want to get your thoughts on, that I'm going to share my thoughts on, and I didn't want to wait another day, so I'm going to slog through this. I do not have the energy to do a bang-up editing job like I normally try to do. The editing for this show, for every minute of show, it takes give or take 3 or 4 minutes of editing to get it just the way I want it. And that's because I'm a novice level or just below audio editor, as I've shared with you before. So it takes me a long time. I don't have the energy to do that this time, but I got a lot I want to cover. And you're going to get it in very raw, very nasal, very unedited form today. So I hope you enjoy it, voice issues and all, because I actually had something really fun that I had already started to work on for what was going to be this episode 21, but then I lost my voice for the better part of the last 3 days, and even this reasonable facsimile of my voice that you are hearing right now is not conducive to what the fun thing I was trying to put together for this episode. So that's going to have to wait until my vocal cords are all the way back to normal, which at the pace things are going here, I don't know how long it's going to be. I feel largely the same that I did two and a half days ago. So I don't know how long this is going to linger. It's zapped all my energy, as you can probably tell. But we're going to fight through it because we got a lot to get into here. And had to share some thoughts on what we've seen these first couple weeks of this new administration, get into some stuff about the ridiculous media that we have to suffer through, and then we're going to wrap it up with a less than ideal personal story that I want to share with you. First thing I want to get into today is the litany of executive orders that President Trump has come out with since he was inaugurated all of, wow, what is it, like 9 days ago? Oh, a lot's happened in 9 days, hasn't it? Well, this is how it's done now. And before you get angry at Donald Trump, I give you Exhibit A, Barack Obama, who was very famous for saying, I have a pen and a phone. And that was one of his favorite ways to threaten Congress for not doing what he wanted them to do, that he would just do what he wanted by executive fiat and bypass them if he had to. Like, you know, you guys can come along for the ride, but I'm not afraid to leave you at the gate and handle this myself. And in defense of President Obama, he was not the first. Presidents have always done them, all the way back to George Washington. And Obama was not even the biggest abuser of this executive order power. For example, FDR signed 2,023 of them from 1937 to 1945. Now, he's obviously dealing with World War II during six of those 8 years, but just for comparison, Harry Truman signed 906 of them from 45 to 53. Eisenhower signed 484 from 53 to 61. Jimmy Carter, in just 4 years, signed 320 of them from 77 to 81. And just for comparison purposes, Obama signed 277 during his 8-year tenure, and Trump signed 220 during his first term. Now, executive orders are obviously a quick and easy way to get done what you want done, to make good on campaign promises. Now, the pros are, they're obviously fast. I mean, he did a good number of these on day one. I think some of them at his inauguration ceremony before he even got to the Oval Office. They don't require any congressional support or approval, and they are enforceable so long as they do not violate any existing law or statute. Now, the cons are pretty obvious, too. They are easily reversible by another president, and let's face it, they can lead to some grotesque amounts of waste, such as cutting off major projects that were initiated by a previous administration halfway to their completion, stopping them and never seeing them through. For example, the border wall, or the pipeline projects that were stopped midstream, or any other investments. You know, Trump's putting it into a lot of these green initiatives, so everybody's mad. Everybody does them. Nobody likes them, but they exist for a reason, and apparently this has just become the way that we're going to do things. Because, I mean, I don't, in a vacuum, I'm not a huge fan of them, because it sets a bad precedent as to how to get things done in Washington. This wasn't the way it was supposed to be done. The power of the presidency was supposed to be extremely limited. We've been over that before. We will go over the articles of the Constitution in detail in future shows, but presidency was always supposed to be the weakest of the three branches, and we'll get into all the reasons why in the future. So, some highlights of Trump's executive orders so far. Reinforcement of the Hyde Amendment. This is the amendment that forbids federal funding for all things abortion. Now, abortion is not a federal issue, as we have discussed. The Supreme Court has ruled it is not a federal issue, as we have discussed, so no federal funds should go to it. And the amendment already exists. This one's a no-brainer. Trump has ordered a full assessment of FEMA, all the way down to, do we really need FEMA or not? Now, we have discussed how some of the FEMA employees treated some, quote, Trump homes in the wake of the hurricanes that devastated Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina. Boy, doesn't that feel like a long time ago? And then there's the complete debacle that was California wildfire readiness. To me, this is long overdue. You know, should disaster relief be a federal issue? I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't know. I haven't thought about it enough, but it feels like most natural disasters are somewhat predictable on where they're going to hit. You know, Washington State doesn't get a whole lot of tornadoes, but Kansas does. Florida doesn't get a whole lot of wildfires, but California does. I don't see any hurricanes hitting New Mexico anytime soon, but boy, Florida and Louisiana, Texas sure get their fair share. I don't know. It's an interesting question. And for goodness sake, is it that bad of an idea if we want these major federal agencies to have some kind of, I don't know, follow-up or some kind of auditing as to how they're managing their funds, it's probably worth exploring since our, you know, our federal government is in debt. I believe it's now $33 trillion. I've lost count. Trump wants to remove the barriers to making the U.S. a global leader in artificial intelligence. Now, I'm going to be honest. Artificial intelligence scares the hell out of me, and not just because I was a fan of the Matrix trilogy. This is some scary stuff. Now, it can obviously be used for good, for very good. Humans have a very long and distinguished track record of taking things that are good and making them all kinds of bad. Now, I want the U.S. to be a leader on this stage because, I mean, it's here, it's not going anywhere, and we definitely do not want China to lead this pursuit, China, who is running away from us in AI technology as of right now. But Americans aren't above corruption either, and AI power, in my opinion, could be the ultimate corruptor. We have to be so careful with this stuff, and boy, do we have to be careful who we trust with it. Trump has signed an executive order to declassify all documents related to the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King Jr. It's about damn time. These were all over 50 years ago. Most of the key players involved are dead or extremely elderly. It's time the American people know the unclassified, unredacted truth about these pivotal moments in American history. Now, there are intelligence experts out there saying that even in a wide-reaching executive order like this, there are loopholes that the CIA and the FBI and anyone else who's well-versed in this stuff could find a way to not disclose everything exactly. I mean, at this point, it's time, people. I mean, JFK was assassinated in 1963. That was 61 years ago and change. The American people deserve to know the truth. Trump is ending DEI on the federal level and restoring merit-based opportunity throughout the federal government. Hear, hear. This alone would have been reason enough for me to vote for him. DEI is a cancer that we have torn apart numerous times on this show. This must be the first step in eradicating it for good. It's divisive, it's racist on its face, it's discriminatory, it's presumptive, and it's anti-American in every possible sense. May it die the public death it so richly deserves. Trump wants to restore historical names that reflect American greatness. Now, this is where Trump goes a little too Trumpy for me. This one's out there, in my opinion. He wants to restore the name of Mount McKinley, which was removed by the Obama administration in 2015 and renamed Denali at the request of the Alaskan people. In 1975, Alaska formally requested the name change to Denali, which is what the Alaskan people had named it. And in 2015, the Obama administration, along with the Department of the Interior, acquiesced. Well, Trump wants Mount McKinley back. Even though, to my understanding, President McKinley had never visited that mountain or had any real direct ties to it. I read that somewhere. I did not double check that to make sure it was true. I apologize in advance if I'm wrong about that, but you see, this one just doesn't feel necessary in week one. And he wants to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Sure, I love Gulf of America more than I would ever love Gulf of Mexico. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This seems really unnecessary. In the first days of what should be a laser-focused administration, the American people gave this administration a mandate on very specific items. Border, energy, inflation, economy. This is just not necessary. Maybe this is something you explore down the road, you know, once you've checked off the major points. Once you've reached some of the milestones and you've got some really good momentum behind you, but this just creates unnecessary dissent, even from largely Republican Alaskan legislators. For what it's worth, no matter what the name is, Alaskans are going to continue to call it Denali. This just feels like free fodder for the opposition. Trump has designated the drug cartels as terrorist organizations. 100%. And it should have been done a long time ago. And what this does is it increases the availability of resources to fight these cartels. Control of the Mexican side of the border between U.S. and Mexico is completely, it's completely controlled by the cartels. They fly drones over the border and surveil U.S. border agents and activities. I'm sorry, that's a hard no. We can't allow drug cartels to control any part of our border, our side or the other, and be flying surveillance drones over our border protection operations. Absolutely not. This was a crucial step in regaining control of our southern border. The federal government will now recognize two sexes, male and female. This is common sense, and anyone that claims otherwise has been hopelessly indoctrinated. Follow the science, right? Well, there's nothing scientific about gender fluid, because it's not a thing. The fact that something like this even needs to be stated in an executive order out of the Oval Office shows just how socially off the rails our society has become. No more of this nonsense. Trump made an executive order establishing the President's Department of Governmental Efficiency. Speaking of things that were long overdue, there is no institution on earth that is held less responsible for waste and chronic inefficiency than our federal government. This is a crucial step in getting our budget under control and stop running $1 to $2+ trillion deficits every single year. It's not the last step. There's much more to do, but it's a crucial first and big step. Trump has issued an executive order for an America First directive to the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, who incidentally was unanimously approved 99-0 in his Senate confirmation vote. At least one nominee didn't draw the Democrats' aimless venom. Again, no-brainer. No other country operates like we have. Financing the world's organizations and agendas while critically ignoring our own? Yes, us first, then everybody else. Why would we want it any other way? How can we let our own citizens struggle and starve while we ship billions of dollars overseas? It doesn't make any sense. Now, this doesn't mean isolationism, but it does mean that we negotiate on behalf of America and American citizens first on the world stage. This should not be controversial. And if you think it is, I question your motives. Shut down American borders to illegal immigration. Another key campaign issue for me personally as a voter. And spare me the feigned moral indignation by all these idiots posting their sob fests on social media. Honest to God. Who does that? I know we've been over this, but I mean, set the camera up all nice and neat. You know, oh, okay, how does my hair look? Okay, I gotta streak my makeup a little bit, because this is almost unanimously white female. And just, okay, ready, 3, 2, 1, action. Press play and sob like a schoolgirl. I'm sorry, did any of you cry for the family of Lake and Riley when this promising young nursing student was murdered by an illegal migrant while out for her morning run? No? Then shut the hell up. Incidentally, the Lake and Riley Act passed Congress and will become the first bill signed into law during Trump's second term, after 46 House Democrats joined every Republican in supporting this incredibly obvious bill. That had it been in existence prior to Lake and Riley's murder, she'd still be alive. The bill states that any illegal immigrant charged with, found guilty of, or admitting to a wide variety of crimes, including shoplifting in excess of $100, is subject to immediately detention and deportation. This is so not controversial. Again, why would we want someone here that, okay, you're already here illegally, which is a crime, and now at the very least you're charged with a second? I'm sorry, we're not giving you a chance for a third strike. 156 House Democrats and 35 Senate Democrats voted against this bill. Vote every single one of them out. Primary them. Fund the hell out of their opposition. Get these people out of public policy making. These people do not have the best interest and the safety and security of the American people at heart. Trump wants to end birthright citizenship. Now, this is obviously one of the more controversial ones. This will end up at the Supreme Court. And it's actually an interesting case if you get past the Trump derangement syndrome aspect of this particular executive order. It comes down to the interpretation of the Constitution, which states, the 14th Amendment, born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. It'll be interesting to hear the court's take on this. Now, I'm not a legal scholar. I don't know how wide-reaching that and subject to the jurisdiction thereof is. Even Alan Dershowitz, who is an amazing follow on X, if you don't follow him, he's awesome, the Dersh Show. Even he was kind of like, you know, I'm interested to hear what they say too. This guy's been practicing law for like 65 years. I mean, he's one of the elite attorneys in the entire country. And even he didn't have a definitive answer on this. So I'm very interested to see what the Supreme Court says about this. Because personally, I mean, do I think someone on a layover, you know, in Dallas that's flying from Paris to Mexico City that has to have an emergency C-section in the airport should be able to call their child an American citizen? I mean, it really doesn't make sense on his face, does it? He's just there for a layover? You know, I mean, this amendment to the Constitution was originally designed to ensure that former slaves and their children were assured of citizenship. And this is probably going to be one of those cases that comes down to the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think two illegal immigrants should be able to come here, have a baby, have that baby be a citizen, and then use that as a means to stay in the country illegally. I just don't think that's the way we should do this. But, you know, that's just one man's opinion. Trump has declared an emergency at the southern border, and it is, in every way, an emergency. And it allows very limited use of the military, only in a very specific supporting role, to ensure the security of our southern border in support of Customs and Border Protection agents. This is absolutely necessary, and it frees up the resources to do it. Trump has withdrawn the United States from the World Health Organization. Good. It's a crap organization that exacerbated the COVID pandemic by bowing to China's every whim. They called the lab leak theory a conspiracy, and labeled measures to deeply restrict international travel to the U.S. at the outset as xenophobic. Not to mention, we contribute anywhere from $163 million to $816 million annually to this crap organization over the last decade, according to KFF. It's an over-politicized branch of the United Nations, which is another garbage organization to which we've contributed far too much, disproportionately much, funding to. Good riddance. Decouple your leadership from the CCP and we'll talk. Unleash American energy. Remember those $2 gas prices? You remember those days when we had so much oil it actually traded negative for a couple of days? Which, that's not ideal either. But you remember that? When we were completely energy independent for the first time in any of our lives? Well, those days are going to be back. This order rescinds many of the Biden executive orders that hamstrung our own energy industry. And no, this does not mean that we want dirty air and dirty water. It means we want to utilize the energy resources that we are blessed with in this country to limit, or if possible, eliminate our dependence on countries that don't share our values and tend to not like us very much. Trump has ordered the end of the weaponization of the federal government. He's absolutely correct. This applies universally across all political affiliations. Trump is also ending federal censorship, which never should have been a thing in the first place, because that is not something we do in the United States. Remember the Biden administration strong-arming social media platforms? No more. Let the people decide. Trump has delayed the TikTok ban. Teenagers everywhere rejoice. I, personally, am not a fan of this. This was a law that was duly passed by the legislature and signed by the president, at the time, Joe Biden. To me, this is an overreach. You know, this is an overreach to reach Trump's desired end, which from what I understand, is at least 50% ownership by American interests in this Chinese-owned social media giant. This, too, is my desired end, but along with complete separation from anything resembling the CCP. But this isn't the way to do it, in my opinion. The law was there, it was passed with bipartisan support. Follow it and find another way. There are many, many more of these executive orders, most of which I agree with, a few not so much. I'm going to quote Martin Mull from one of my favorite movies of all time, Clue. Quote, "You cannot make an omelet without breaking eggs." End quote. That is exactly my summation of this first week and a half of this administration. Is there some overreach here? Yes. In my opinion, there is. Trump is testing the limits of the power of the presidency, and sometimes he's going to go too far, at which point the courts will step in and stop him. That's how the system works. And he is not the first president to push executive power. This has been done by countless presidents over the years. This is not unique to Donald Trump. Now, and again, before the Democrats get too haughty about this, remember Joe Biden repeatedly throwing double-fisted middle fingers at the Supreme Court regarding student loan forgiveness, which was nothing but a veiled wealth transfer to people who overwhelmingly supported Biden from people who overwhelmingly did not, which the Supreme Court ruled was not a power he had as president, that it had to go through Congress. Well, Joe Biden didn't care. He did it anyway. He did it repeatedly, and he bragged about it on television. Spare me. The courts will stop Trump where he overreaches. That's how this process is supposed to work. No executive order can supersede existing law, and everyone in Trump's circle knows that, including Trump himself. Overall, I give this first week and a half for Trump an A-minus B-plus on this executive order spree. Many of these were long overdue, and he hit all the big ones for me personally. The TikTok thing, the renaming of, you know, Denali and the Gulf of Mexico, I didn't like as much, and it just gives opponents an easy inroad to criticize him, which they are more than willing to jump at nauseam into any microphone that will have them. Other than those, it's been an A+. This country wasn't secure. It was not and is not fiscally sound. And socially, it was becoming a parody of itself with these increasingly bizarre social issues that most of the rest of the civilized world has already banned for a litany of very good reasons. It's a great start, and for someone like me that supported a lot of his agenda, I am very excited by this start. But to make any of this permanent, it has to go the legislative route, and that's going to be far more challenging and require political savvy on an almost unprecedented scale. If I've learned one thing over this first week and a half, it's that the Democrats and the legacy media, lest I repeat myself, have learned absolutely nothing. Once again, I give them too damn much credit. I figured the nature of Trump's victory would have had some effect, a diluting effect, if you will, on the borderline insane level of resistance against him. The popular vote victory, the electoral landslide, all in the face of the most intense fear-mongering campaign ever set forth by a political party. He's Hitler. He's fascist. Quick, all you people accusing him of being a fascist, define fascism. Yeah, that's what I thought. He's a criminal. He's a convicted felon. He's an existential... Again, define existential, leftists. No cheating. Don't look it up. He's an existential threat to democracy. Two assassination attempts that we know of. Coordinated efforts by every major legacy media network outside of Fox in collusion with the Democrat Party to paint him as unhinged and unfit to serve as president. And all the while expecting every American with a functioning brain to forget that the man was once president already. And he did exactly none of the things they were telling us he would do. And even as their sad, despondent, sorry excuses for journalists went wall to wall on election night, not being able to believe their partisan hack eyes, I figured at least the lies about him would be somewhat muted. You know, he assembled a unique coalition consisting of well-known names from across the political spectrum. You know, from comfortably on the left like RFK to comfortably on the right like Ted Cruz. They all supported him. It was no longer taboo to be a Trump supporter. In a way, supporting Trump became one of the left's favorite buzz phrases, part of the resistance. It became cool to support Trump, as Bill Maher said on his show this week. It always puzzled me, by the way, how the party in control of all the legacy media, the entire Department of Education, from kindergarten through the Ivy Leagues, not to mention the current party in power, could ever hold themselves out to be the resistance. But, you know, as is always the case with our legacy media clowns, never let the truth get in the way of a good narrative. Although 60% of Americans supported his transition leading up to the inauguration, I thought at least some of them would learn. Well, I've seen enough to know absolutely nothing has changed. God, the lies are so bold and so blatant.
Well, Trump lies too.
Yeah, he says things like, I won the youth vote by 36 points. In his interview with Sean Hannity last week, which, no, he didn't win the youth vote by 36 points. He overperformed in the youth vote, and he probably had the number 36 in his head. Maybe he did 36 points better with the youth vote than he did in the last election. I don't know. He exaggerates. 100%, no doubt about it. But very rarely does he lie about the material fact. He may deliver it in an incredibly inartistic way, but I'm sorry, I don't put fluffing a number on par with this.
All these journalists are like, Congresswoman, are you going to the inauguration? Congresswoman, are you going to the inauguration? Are you going to the inauguration? Let me make myself clear. I don't celebrate rapists. So no, I'm not going to the inauguration room.
That is unequivocally 100% defamation. She wasn't saying that in her position as a House member, which for some ridiculous reason gives her and every other member of Congress protection from defamation claims while in their professional capacity. What a joke that is. Fix that too while we're at it. She put that out in public on her personal social media in a sweatshirt, probably in her apartment. That is a proven falsehood. He was found not guilty in the only rape case that was ever brought against him. ABC just paid $15 million because their prized reporter slash Clinton sycophant George Stephanopoulos simply couldn't grasp or accept that reality. AOC just doubled down to an audience 10 times the size of the average ABC news broadcast. This stuff has to stop. Not only because it's wrong, but because people actually believe it. And it's still ruining relationships. More on that in a bit. It's defamation. And I'm not much for the sue happy culture that we find ourselves in. But I'll tell you what, I want front row seats to this one. She's an imbecile. But worse than that, she's an influential imbecile. She's not interested in the truth or common ground or working together or making America safer and stronger. She wants clicks. And that is so uniquely dangerous when someone who wants nothing more than to be famous has the power of a U.S. congresswoman. Oh, and she wants Chuck Schumer's job too. Speaking of our favorite soulless demonic entity currently occupying one of New York's U.S. Senate seats, well, let's hear what he had to say about Trump pausing all the federal handouts, with some very specific carve-outs that apparently this anaconda didn't take the time to read.
Well, last night, President Trump plunged the country into chaos. Without a shred of warning, funds for things like disaster assistance, local law enforcement, rural hospitals, aid to the elderly, food for people in need, or on the chopping block in administration. Every one of our offices has been deluged with calls from people who are in panic. What is this going to mean? What if I have a hospital that has people on life support? What are we going to do? It's hard to overstate how destructive this decision is for the country. He has a lot of really bad decisions for which the American people will rebel, and politically is going to be very unpopular. But this is the worst of the worst. This is cruelty. This is lawlessness. This is a heist done on a national scale. The president does not have the authority to ignore the law, and we're going to fight this in every way that we can.
Oh, suddenly Chuck Schumer cares about the law restricting presidential actions. You know, I don't remember that coming up one time in the last 4 years. Funny. Now, every bit of that was a lie. He knows it's all a lie. He was community noted within minutes of this 100% void of truth quote when it hit the waves. And he wasn't done. I will say that this particular order was not put out very eloquently. And though there were carve-outs for, yes, everything that Chuck Schumer said there, anything related with food, anything related with law enforcement, anything related with seniors, firefighters, on and on and on, there were carve-outs for all of those. Now, none of that matters to Senator Snake Schumer. None of that matters. All that matters is the talking point. Now, Trump and his Office of Management and Budget did ultimately back off of this for the time being, undoubtedly to fine-tune it. But good old Chuck, he just can't help himself. Listen to this laundry list of lies. This is all from his own X feed. Firefighters are in danger because of Donald Trump. Law enforcement is in danger because of Donald Trump. Hospitals are in danger because of Donald Trump. Mass transit is now in danger because of Donald Trump. Senior citizens are now in danger because of Donald Trump. God, I could go on and on. Every one of these lies was specifically singled out as an exception to the pause. Whatever. The truth never stopped this venomous reptile before. Why stop now?
Lawless, destructive, cruel, mean, nasty, and illegal. That's what this order is. It sucks. The blast radius of Trump's awful, awful decision is limitless. It's going to affect almost everybody in every way. The idea that a court said it won't go into effect, we're not going to be fooled. We're not going to rest. We know Trump and his crony vote are going to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it till they slash the heart out of the programs that the government sends to help people throughout America. All of this is illegal. We're working with the state attorney generals. We're working with our own counsel. Not only are we going to go to court to block it, we are going to let every American know how bad this is. And to Americans in every corner of this country, when you see what this terrible order does to your schools, to your firefighters, to your police officers, to your communities, call your Republican senators, call your Republican Congress members, and tell them that they should go to Trump and demand he rescind this order now. It's illegal, and it hurts every American.
By the way, not to get nitpicky here, Senator, it's attorneys general, not attorney generals. And what the hell is a crony vote? Well, now we're just making stuff up as we go. Senator Schumer has never cared much for what hurts every American. He is out for absolutely one human being, and it is Chuck Schumer. Now again, that particular order was not laid out the best, and again, has since been rescinded. Good for you, Schumer. You won that one, at least for now. Until someone with a little more eloquent communication style gets it. There is no length this snake will not go to lie. It really is grotesque. This pathological liar has 3.3 million followers on X. Think of the brainwashing that's happening to anyone that refuses to double-check his blatant lies. But you know what, Chuck? Let's go with it. Let's assume that everything you said is true. I love to play this game, because none of these people ever think it through to the next level. So, okay, fine. Let's play your game. That all of these critical components to our society would shut down tomorrow if federal funding, our precious federal funding, was paused. Or, heaven forbid, the spigot shut off long enough to figure out where these trillions of dollars are going every year. The federal budget deficit last year was $1.8 trillion. You know what sounds cruel and nasty and just plain mean to me, Senator? Allowing this unchecked, unchallenged, unmonitored, reckless spending to just continue in perpetuity to the point where the U.S. eventually defaults on its debts. Because that date is out there. No one knows when it is. But all it takes is one. One bondholder with a serious stake to lose faith. And if we keep spending like this, it's not if it's going to happen. It is a guarantee to happen. So, Senator, what happens when all that precious federal funding for things that have absolutely nothing to do with the federal government, by the way, isn't even worth the paper it's printed on? That sounds pretty cruel, doesn't it, Senator? Shouldn't we at least attempt to take some steps to not go off the financial cliff? I'm done. I am done with people like Snake Schumer and the vast majority of Democrats simply playing on people's emotions, with no forward thought of what might be coming down the pike financially for this country. You need a recent example of how bad it can go? Go check on Argentina, which was once one of the wealthiest countries in the Western Hemisphere. Well, then a raging socialist got a hold of that country and all but bankrupted it, to the excruciating detriment of its citizens. This is all so juvenile. It's empty, it's brainless, it's pathetic. And you know what? None of this matters if all of our currency ends up being worthless. I mean, how confident is the world right now in the American dollar? Have you checked Bitcoin lately? You think that screams confidence in the U.S. financial system? Or any global financial system, for that matter? It's just endless, reckless spending, founded, justified, and implemented by preying on people's emotions. And it will lead to the end of this country as we know it if we let it happen. But do you think Chuck Schumer will be affected one iota? No. He'll sit on his millions that he's made as a public servant. And he'll ride out the rest of his days in luxury while the rest of us common folk are fighting for eggs and flour in the town square. Good God, do better, New York. And no, AOC is not better. But you know, sometimes these people get bored with Trump. I mean, how many times can you call the same guy Hitler? You know, many Democrats in the legacy media, again, lest I repeat myself, many of the Democrats in the legacy media clowns have turned their fire on the raging Nazi white supremacist Hitler lover Elon Musk. Because suddenly we don't like money in politics anymore. Even though Kamala Harris managed to go almost 4 months without being seen in public without some famous celebrity multimillionaire, but details. You remember Tim Walz? Yeah, that lying, valor-stealing, complete weirdo governor of my dumbass state? Yeah, MSNBC is still bringing this guy in for his penetrating insight into the political landscape that's unfolded here. Let's see what old Walsey has to say.
It's writing and putting those members of Congress. Look, there is no spine amongst those folks, but this is real. This is, you know, they're talking about defunding the police, things that they, you know, puff their chests up and say they're good with, making the case. And I would let, you know, to the voters, I'm with this too. Everybody's fatigued. Trust me, I get it. It was pure hell and the disappointment and the frustration. And I'm, you know, soul searching. What could we have done to make the case? Because we knew this was coming. We knew that the implication. Then they're throwing so much at us that we're fatigued. You know, we spent 3 days, you know, debating, having them trying to debate that President Musk gave a Nazi salute. Of course he did. But that is a distraction from what I think you said. It. This is game on stuff right here.
Of course he did. Of course he did a Heil Hitler salute. I mean, it's established fact. Did you hear the guy? Listen to Tim Walz. Of course he did. You think he wouldn't? You didn't think that Elon Musk would Heil Hitler? Would it surprise you to learn that Elon Musk visited the Holocaust Museum last week? with a convoy of people, including Ben Shapiro, a practicing Orthodox Jew that has absolutely no time for anti-Semitism. Ben Shapiro is one of the most religiously threatened people in America because he's A, Jewish, and B, conservative. He has to travel with personal security because of his religion and his political leanings. Are you kidding me? In the United States of America, in the 21st century, an outspoken conservative Orthodox Jew has to travel with personal security. Anyway, I digress. The left is freaking out about this gesture that Elon Musk made to a raucous crowd shortly after he returned, where he placed his hand by his heart and then motioned as if to throw it out to the crowd that he was thanking for their support. He said, "I give my heart to you." The left kept calling this awkward. I'm always interested to hear what the left thinks is weird and awkward. The left spent 4 months talking about how weird J.D. Vance and his incredibly inspiring path to success and road to the vice presidency is, while calling tampons in boys' bathrooms completely normal. I'm not really interested in your take, lefties. But anyway, the left keeps calling this awkward at best and Hitlerian at worst. They mocked him for this motion, which, yes, was animated, which Elon tends to do when he gets in front of a crowd. But like good old Governor Tim Walz just said, 3 days, they kept coming for him, insulting him for his frequent gyrations and his tendency to get worked up in front of a crowd. Have I told you that the left's love for people only goes as far as the ballot box? These people are so sickeningly fake. Elon Musk has Asperger's syndrome, which is a form of autism spectrum disorder. Did you know that? Well, I did, because my life has been touched repeatedly by Asperger's syndrome. Let me tell you a little bit about Asperger's and people that are afflicted with it. They're incredibly smart. They are relentlessly empathetic. They have the biggest hearts of anyone that I know. They're also uncomfortable in their own skin. They're uncomfortable in social settings, to the point that sometimes they really can't control their hand and head gestures. They tend to accentuate physical movements in times of stress or discomfort, or even excitement, sometimes coming off as what some would call awkward. But they will give you the shirt off their back if they think it will make you feel better. I will take 1 million people like that before I take one cretin that dares go after them and the challenges they face, the way these heartless, callous political hacks like Tim Walz do. The left will play on your every emotion, every sympathy, every empathetic tendency that we are wired for as human beings, if it suits their political needs. But the minute it doesn't, the gloves are off. Look no further than how they treat everyone that they once loved, but that now votes red, starting with Trump. Tulsi, RFKJ, now Elon Musk. Even his spectrum diagnosis is fair game to these people. I'm sorry. These are the good guys? Not in my world. And I see it every day, which brings me to my last point for today. I'm going to share with you another heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, completely unnecessary ending of a lifelong relationship at the hands of politics. This too happened to someone I know that I care about. It involves a family that we've known for decades. Married, Catholic family, 2 kids. The husband does well. Financially, does very well, but works a very physical and extremely dangerous job. Now, he's a bit older than she is. They make a great living, but they've planned well. They planned so well that they were able to build their dream home that they live in to this day. Their kids are amazing, respectful, sharp as tacks, tenacious. They're out in the world doing great things. Industrial tech, weapons training in the military. The mom's been largely at home, raising the kids and getting them to anything and everything, which is absolutely a full-time job and then some. No one works harder than a stay-at-home mom or dad. Her husband's job takes him away for months at a time. So that good living does not come without sacrifice. Immense sacrifice, and we've seen it. The trade-offs are real. We've seen it throughout these decades. Every form of refuge has its price. Copyright my all-time favorite band, the Eagles, Don Henley, Glenn Frey. As they got older, the mom started to think about the road ahead. Her husband being older and nearing retirement far earlier than she, and working such a dangerous job to begin with. She didn't wait for bad things to happen. She took it upon herself to put herself through nursing school. Full gambit. Registered nurse. Now, I love her, but she wasn't exactly fresh out of high school when she took this on. And let me tell you, I couldn't have done it. Not for one single day. But she did. Night and day. All year round. For 2 full years. With 2 children and a husband working the job I described. Gone for long stretches. Dangerous. Always halfway waiting for that call that something went wrong. She stayed up nights, woke up early, attended study groups, even as one might call the elder stateswoman in the group. No matter how tired she was, no matter how over it, no matter how insurmountable it seemed, she persevered. It was hard on her. It was hard on her relationship with her children, as it obviously took her away from them more than they were used to. But she felt like this was something she had to do. Her husband had worked so hard for so long, at great physical risk to himself, to provide for their family and their dreams. Now she saw her turn coming down the pike. Not knowing how long God would grace her family with her husband's health and mostly steady but never quite guaranteed employment, she did this. All on her own. No assistance, no grants, no leave of absence. She just did it. And lo and behold, 2 years later, she graduated near the top of her class, filled with students much younger and, even she would argue, more able to burn the midnight oil. She took a job around a 0.2 to a 0.4, for those familiar with how the medical field does its scheduling, as her husband is still employed. And as of early January this year, that's where they were at. I say employed, it's actually self-employed. Independent contractor. But that's where they're at. Fortunate enough to both still be working, making a great living. Kids are out on their own largely now. And even though it was incredibly hard, she saw it through. With the love and the support of her friends and family. And through wise financial management, they have put themselves in a great position. She sadly has suffered the loss of both of her parents in recent years, far too young, both of them. It was heartbreaking to watch it happen. We were close with them as well. And after several difficult and emotionally and physically taxing weekends clearing out the home her father built that she grew up in, her and her siblings decided it was time to sell the family home. Her mother always loved joining us at our cabin vacation. She really loved that time by the lake and always wanted a place like that for her family. So our friend, together with the blessing of the rest of her family, decided that with her portion of the proceeds of the sale of the home, they would pursue the family cabin that her mother so longed for. Because they've been so responsible and worked so hard and been so disciplined, they were in a position to pursue a very nice place. And they found one. They close on it in just a couple of weeks. Their happiness, their anticipation, it was like nothing I'd ever seen from them before. Reminds me of how I'd envision myself feeling if I were ever able to achieve my lifelong dream of doing the same. They found the exact place they were looking for. Everything that they could have asked for, this place had it. And their excitement was palpable. It was contagious. They said day after day throughout all the negotiations with the seller that they couldn't wait to host us there, always thinking of others. Anytime we wanted. They wanted all of their friends and family to be every bit as part of it as they were, as if we were all in it together. Now, we aren't their only close friends. I mean, these are amazing people, and they're incredibly likable. So to no one's surprise, they have many friends, some of them dating back even much further than our almost 20 years of knowing them. One of those friends in particular is someone we've gotten to know a bit over the years. I mean, these two go back as far as two people can go back. They were raised together, same schools, best of friends throughout. I mean, this is a special kind of friendship these two have. They vacation together, a tradition they started way back when they were just out of high school. They have a girls group that always vacations together. They make a point, no matter what's going on, to make it happen every year. They join each other for every event, holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, graduations. There's nothing that could happen in either of their lives, good or painful, that the other wouldn't be right there for. This friend has two adorable children that our family's gotten to know a bit. Sadly, this friend ended up getting divorced. But even despite her strong Catholic faith, our friend never wavered. She was a rock for her friend, there every step of the way, through every upsetting court date, through every enraging and hurtful fight. Our friend was there, time after time after time. This friend would stay with our friend when she came to town. Just her, both kids, some combination of all three, it never mattered. She knew our friend's door was always open for her and her family, no matter what. She never judged her, never lectured her about how divorce isn't the Catholic thing to do, or how God would want her to see her vows through. Never mind what a deteriorating society has to say about it. Nope, she was just there as her friend, as she always was, through thick and thin, through all of life's confusing and sometimes disorienting stages. She was there. Anytime she needed her, no matter what. Now, sadly, I'm sure you can see where this is leading. Just this past week, our friend was celebrating receiving a closing date for their new cabin, a new chapter in their lives, the fulfillment of a lifelong pursuit in honor of her late mother, who passed away just last year, when our friend received a message from this lifelong friend for whom she had been there through every one of life's tumults, that she was no longer going to associate with her because of how she voted. Now, if you had to classify our friends, I would call them conservative, Catholic, independent contractors. I mean, could there be a redder voting bloc? I've seen them pour through their taxes and their legal documents and their insurance forms and their payroll taxes and on and on and on. It is an incalculable nightmare that costs them a fortune every single year. The Democrat Party long ago abandoned the devout Catholic. It turns out Catholics, not so on board with the killing of healthy babies in the womb. Shocker, I know. One of our friend's kids is involved in industry. Blue collar, fixing stuff, makes the world go round kind of guy. While the other just joined a revitalized military under a new Secretary of Defense that promises to restore our proud military to all it was meant to be, energizing an entire generation of soon-to-be young soldiers who are dedicating their post-high school years to defending their country and learning skills that are impossible to put a value on. They're a picture of a conservative Catholic family with interests and beliefs that align far more with the right than the left in today's political climate. But you see, this friend of hers woke up one day last week and absolutely none of that mattered. The simple fact that our friends did not vote the way this particular person required of them was more than enough to break off a friendship of more than 40 years in the making. There was no turmoil between these two, no fallouts, no ongoing tension for which voting in an unacceptable way was the final progressive straw. This came out of the clear blue sky, when our friends were at their happiest. Turning the heart-wrenching loss of her parents into a lifelong pursuit in honor of the parents that set her on this path to a successful life. Now, they weren't perfect. None of us are. But the foundation that they laid for her and for her family, it set them up for this moment. A moment they could barely contain their excitement for. And this friend of hers knew it. She knew all about it. How happy they were. How excited they were to dedicate this new endeavor to her late parents. She confided in her like no other. She admires her. This other friend. Her strength. Her tenacity. This friend's penchant for philanthropy and donating her time to numerous causes. Often at the expense of her own children. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Our friend admired her and made time for her all the same, no matter what. But in the middle of all of that, out of absolutely nowhere, this smug, baselessly elitist, "You aren't worthy of calling me friend" gut punch. Unprovoked, uncalled for, and in every conceivable way, unnecessary. You see, this person never stopped for 1 minute to ask themselves why someone like our friend might vote a certain way. After all, up until this point, we were all free to make our own choices on who we vote for. But somehow in late 2024, that rule changed for some of us. Didn't change for anyone on my behalf. I've said many times on this show that there are many people in my life that I know and love that vote blue no matter what. I'm sure they have their reasons. I never look for the fight. I'll accept one if it lands at my feet. But I'm never looking for one, seeking one out. But somehow an ever-increasing number of us seem to be using someone else's right to vote for whomever they choose as a litmus test of how worthy they are of our friendship. No thanks. Hard pass. I have no room for that in my life. You could look at this friend of ours' family, and in 5 minutes you'd say, "Yep, that's a conservative Catholic voter right there." And contrary to what this so-called friend of theirs says, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I will never be part of any movement where polite dissent, even unmentioned dissent, is no longer tolerated. But in-your-face elitism and feigned moral superiority is. No interest in that. Vote the way you want. I'll love you all the same. If I loved you before, I'll love you after. But you have no more right to judge what led me to my voting choices than I have the right to judge yours. This person saw a lifelong, uniquely special best friend about to cross a long, chaste finish line. And they stuck their foot out and tripped them flat on their face. I don't know how long this will affect our friends. I know them well enough to know it won't be easy to shake, if they're ever able to shake it at all. This person picked a fight where there was no fight to be had. Created anxiety in a world drowning in anxiety where there was none. Also, they could feel better about themselves. While our friend now scrounges for answers and begs for forgiveness for something for which she owes absolutely zero apology. May God have mercy on these misguided souls, prowling the world, looking for ways to drag down their own friends. Their lifelong companions that have been with them through every turn. I pray they know not what they do, nor the pointless pain they cause. Because even as a Catholic man myself, I find it hard to convince myself of that. I ask for God's help on that one. This has been Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. Don't be a jerk. Please pray for our friend. And I'll talk to you next time.